Another episode, another brand new song. This one, we didn't really change. It's a throwback if you were really into pop punk in high school. The name of the song makes sense because this is what the Bears are. It's Disconnected. Thank you so much, Rick Fieldsman and Coach Cuse, and myself, Bill Doinks. Thank myself. Here you go.
Know a thing about me? Is there something that you should know? I can tell you what you want to hear. Let your inhibitions just go. No, you don't know what you will give up. No, you don't know what you will give up. You don't know what you want. It may take you years to find out. You don't know what you need. It's something that may never come to you. Trust is something that comes easy when you've never been a victim. Lies and promises and words are said. It's your decision to accept them. No, you don't know what you will give up. No, you don't know what you will give up. You don't know what you want. It may take you years to find out. You don't know what you need. It's something that will never come to you.
That's what face to face had in mind. Oh, well, this is a familiar feeling, a three-game losing streak. How big can they make it this year under Matt Nagy? Is he okay? Anybody letting him back into Hellas? Welcome to a new Zero Doinks, brand new. 49ers came in, made Jimmy G look amazing. Oh, God, then we got the Steelers on Monday night and then a bye week, but we're going to talk all about it. We will get super weird as we always do. We're going to have a lot of fun. Please come into our warm nest. Come sit on all of our eggs. We welcome you. Zerk Dogs.
Boing, 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 boing.
Zero Doinks. Zero Doinks.
Zero doinks.
Who's that doinks? Oh my goodness, Dan, you look amazing. You have a beer bottle on your shirt. You have a lot of weatherproofing still on your walls. I don't see any ghosts, but the night is early. Dan, how are you, bud?
Great, Bill. Thank you for asking me. I'm good. The Bears stink. Are we a Bulls podcast now? The number one Bulls podcast this side of the Mississippi?
I think so. Yeah, we are all NBA all the time. Hey, Adam Silver, let me rub your dome and talk all about Kyrie Irving.
That's a great place to start. Let's do it, Bill. Maybe this is the last time we'll ever talk about the Bears. Who knows?
Hard to say, but thanks for listening. Let's talk about our boy Justin Fields. Zerdoinks.
Get vaccinated, Kyrie, please.
13-4, Super Bowl City. Justin Fields is the man.
Do we have a real one? Do we have a real number one?
To making the decision to move with Justin as a starter. Let him grow. This is Justin's time.
Justin Fields!
What's your comp for Justin Skyler Fields? Like, who does he remind you of?
Ooh, wow, good question. Jesus Christ is the first person that comes to mind.
I was just home, with my dog Uno watching film last night.
Let him grow. This is Justin's time. Let him grow.
Every time I pass like a homeless person and I have, cash in my car, I always give it to him.
Please, Jesus, thank you for Justin Fields. Our Lord and Savior is possibly here. He is risen. He's here. He's Jesus Christ. He's Jesus Christ in football form.
Drafting
so
Justin Fields is gold.
Justin, you stirred up some controversy when you got into it with some Alabama fans after the game and said, "I'm going to the NFL. Y'all have fun marrying your cousins."
Oh, welcome back. Zero Doinks. We are going to talk about the main reason to continue to watch Chicago Bears games in 2021. It is Justin Fields. He was all the way gold on Sunday. Dan, what were your observations about the rookie of the year in 2021, Justin Fields? What'd you think, bud?
Already cashed that out. Have we checked the odds recently? Don't. That'll just hurt. Excuse me, Hams. Thank you for sponsoring. That was his best game so far, right? I think that was probably maybe statistically what didn't look as sexy throwing the ball. But if you watch the game with your eyes, if you have one or two eyes or a third because you're a weirdo, I think that was the best he's looked so far. Thus, this season, the year 2021.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Still,
yeah.
Still rookie-ish. Still rookie-ish in spots, but definitely confident. Finally got him rolling out a lot, using his feet. No coincidence that knucklehead visor guy wasn't in the house for that game, right?
I think so. I think, I don't think there was any coincidence at all that we did everything to actually make the offense work for Justin Fields while Matt Nagy was at home. What do we think Matt Nagy was doing during the game, actually? Let's cut to that real quick before we talk about our boy. What are your thoughts?
Jerking off? Mm-hmm. I don't know. Yeah. Do you think he was watching Red Zone? Like he did, he just wanted to try it out, see what it was like to be a regular fan and slam some beers and watch Red Zone. I told you this off air that I thought he was stuck in Florida after that game. Like maybe he knew he had COVID and coached the game anyway last week. That's why he was being very mysterious about where he's at, where he's going, where he will be. Probably not. No truth to that because I'm sure that you can't hide that shit. But odd that the mystery he tries to create around himself, like anyone gives a fuck.
Mm-mm.
Like, it's not like an advantage to the 49ers this week knowing where fucking Matt Nagy is at. I mean, dumb. Unless he's smart enough to know if they're not aware that I'm away from the team and that makes our team better, then kudos to him, I guess. But we all know Matt Nagy. He's out for Matt Nagy.
Yeah, he's definitely not that smart. No chance. Enough of that fucker. Justin Fields, like you said, if you just, you know, if you opened your newspaper in the morning and skipped over Dan Weider's recap of the game and went straight to the box score, you'd be like, all right, looks like an average game for a quarterback. But first of all, by Chicago Bears standards, that's like the greatest game anybody's ever played. Let's just call it what it is. And I agree. He just looked locked in. He looked confident. He looked like he was making quick decisions. They seemed to actually design like running plays for him. Wow, that's yes. Amazing.
Right.
Did you see the stat during the game where he's like very much below, like toward the bottom of the league in designed running plays for a quarterback, for mobile quarterbacks?
Really?
Yeah, like Trey Lance is way ahead of him, and Trey Lance has played like 3 minutes in the NFL. So that said a lot, I thought, about Matt Nagy's creativity and, you know, really adjusting the offense to the talent you have. Over 100 yards rushing, 2 touchdowns, 1 interception that didn't really matter. What was your favorite play? Did you have like a moment where you're like, oh God, this is why we created a segment for this guy?
It has to be the 4th and 1 running play, right? Where he just made guys miss on the right, running to the right, curled back to the left, made Warner miss a tackle, which is like, that made it even sexier. That has to be the play, right? But I immediately went to thinking about Mitch in that Patriots game when he had that sweet run. That was like Mitch's best play in his time with the Bears. And I thought, oh God, I hope this isn't the one play that we remember from JF1. I think that has to be it. The pass, the touchdown pass to James, that was pretty sexy as well. I mean, he put it in the only place that he could for his receiver to catch it without the defender getting the hand on it. And, yeah, it has to be the 4th and 1 touchdown run. Is that the same for you?
That's one I'm going to remember more, I think, just because of the circumstances to what we thought at the time was tie the game until Cairo Santos couldn't do it and the defense didn't show up. That we'll talk about that in the next segment, I'm sure. The moment, the 4th and 1, just him creating something out of nothing, that was unbelievable. That Mitch play has crossed my mind this year. I don't know if it did at that moment, but I don't know. That one was just so weird. We were at that game, and it was sort of like nobody really seemed to get was that close to Mitch somehow, even though they should have. That was weird. But where this one, it seemed like there were 3 or 4 times that your average quarterback, well, not even average, like your everybody but Lamar Jackson essentially would have gotten hit. It was incredible. That touchdown pass, though, that was probably a better sign for him and kind of the future, right? Just like, again, you boot him to the left. He's throwing against his body. He put that thing, the way he threw it, he looked like Tim Anderson almost.
Across his body.
Yeah, it was like, it was either going to hit the ground or Jesse James was catching it. I can't stop thinking about that play, I'll be honest with you.
You text me, I missed it in real time, and you said, have you seen it yet? Because I was running around, it was fucking Halloween, but I didn't see it in that moment, and you're like, oh, you're going to love it, or something real sexual, I'm sure, because that's all you text me about, just real gross sexual stuff. But
penises!
The run, the touchdown run of his, Greg Olson, I think, was the one who said he just realized he was the best athlete on the field and took off. Just Greg Olson saying that, my pants got real tight. Because it's true. He said, I'm going to use my legs, and I'm going to get into the fucking touchdown, and that's what he did. So, shows there was a lot of confidence yesterday, which was great to see. The one interception in the moment, I thought, oh, he can't go one game without throwing a terrible deep interception. Watching it back, Mooney got his hands on it. I mean, it was a dumb pass. He shouldn't have thrown it. But even how as dumb as it was, Mooney, if it was just a bit shorter, Mooney would have come down with that. So, whatever. It really didn't matter.
No, and it might not have mattered at the end of the day. And Yeah, if that were Allen Robinson, assuming he's still on the team, you know, whether it be trade or even if he's on the roster, where the fuck is he? Then, yeah, somebody a little taller may have come down with it. We do have, you know, I mean, it's only Mooney's second year. We seem to have a weird habit of having him be like the jump ball guy sometimes. Where right. Mooney, and he is... That's not his skill set. I'm not saying that's what that play was designed to do. Like, but
right,
yeah, that wasn't ideal. I didn't even really care. Like it.
No.
Whatever. I was upset only because it's like he played such a. He didn't deserve to have a turnover on his record for that game.
Right. Were you at all thinking that he was going to say after the game he thought he had a free play there for some reason? That's all that popped into my head.
No.
I mean, there would be no reason for it, but someone in the headset saying, oh, it's a free play, just chuck it down the field. Are you concerned at all that he's not getting over 200 yards passing? I mean, I think it's got to be scheme. It's got to be the talent around him. The offensive line stinks. But I'm starting to get a little concerned that getting close to 200 yards is really tough. It's really tough. I think he went over once with the Detroit game, but you know, in the NFL, these shitty quarterbacks are hitting 250 easily, and it seems really difficult. We're still not. It's the offense sucks. The scheme sucks.
Yes,
but we're not hitting. We're not getting any big plays. We're still Mooney. Every pass to Mooney is hit is when he's standing still. He's stopped at like an 8 yard route. That's it.
Yeah. That's where I think it's schematic. It's a Chicago Bears problem that drives me fucking crazy, and it's one of a million reasons that this coaching staff needs to be lit on fire in the middle of downtown Naperville. That's how I feel about it. It's like it's this Mickey Mouse bullshit. It's like that one shot that you have per game, I feel like, for Fields to hit a guy in stride, you know, 35, 40-yard gain. And either he hits it or he doesn't. If he doesn't hit it, then there's like no chance of getting 200 yards.
Right.
And it's so stupid. You're right. It's that is not modern day NFL. And that's, I think it's part of the reason that I think you've said it before. Everything just looks so fucking hard in the Matt Nagy offense. It's so hard to get like a first down. It's so
right.
hard to do everything. And you watch San Francisco just light it up. I feel like they average like 9 yards a play.
Yeah,
not even a completion, and I'm sure we'll get to that as well. And I think it is this stupid West Coast offense of Matt Nagy's, and I hate it, and I want it gone.
Yeah, and I think this is a bad look for Matt Nagy. That offense looked different. It looked more like what we've been asking for, and fits what Fields can do when he wasn't in the building. So. But also makes me think, like, even his coaches are like, yeah, this guy fucking sucks. He has no communication. We're going to run what we want to run. And either way, it just proves even further that he has no business being in Hallis Hall at all.
Yeah.
He's doing more damage than good.
I think when you make Bill Lazor look good, you're a horrible coach, right? I think that's kind of
yeah, exactly.
the thing. And, yeah, it all blows, except the fact that Justin Fields can bounce back from a horrible game against Tampa, and San Francisco's defense isn't bad. Like that's not like you're playing a shit team and just getting lucky. So I think it's a really good sign for Fields, and Bears fans should feel pretty good that anybody can have that type of success against any team with this coaching staff after such a horrible game. I think that's a
right.
good sign.
Right, and if Matt Nagy is in any part of his brain thinks we would be better off with Andy Dalton, we definitely wouldn't have got that rushing touchdown. We would have gotten blown out yesterday with
yeah.
Andy Dalton. So not that we need to rehash that. That's not happening, obviously, because he's been told not to bring that up anymore. But yeah, I it's hard not to feel encouraged by JF1. I'm still terrified he's going to get hurt because he's been sacked 26 fucking times this year. The O-line is horrendous, which we could talk about more in the next segment. But overall, feeling pretty good.
Yeah, looked a lot better. Justin Fields is gold. We're glad he's here. We are so glad he's here. And we're glad Zach Wilson isn't among a few others out there, I'm sure. This has been the greatest segment on earth about the greatest quarterback who will win lots of rings and will be in the Hall of Fame first ballot, Justin Fields. Thanks for joining me here, buddy.
You're welcome. Give us a call, Pablo. Call into the show. It's a live show. Call in.
We're warm. Sit in our nest. We love you. We love you. We love all of you, especially our listeners. Zerdikes.
Gold.
Give me a lake that I can dive into. Bury my head in the shit at the bottom. Fuck today. Fuck San Francisco. Fuck you, McCaskies.
All you see is just orange.
You, Aaron Rodgers.
Boing, 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 boing.
All right, we're back, Bill. Thank you so much for joining me for this segment. We're going to talk the rest about the San Francisco game. Maybe we could do it kind of quickly. Let's not just ramble on. I have a tendency to do that. Then we'll talk a little bit of Pittsburgh Steelers. Bill, we were talking Justin Fields. Why don't we stay on the offensive side of the ball? I don't know what we need to talk about first. Outside of Justin, it stinks. That offensive line... Oh, buddy, not good. Not good. What were your thoughts on the O-line?
I was so mad at James Daniels and Cody Whitehair for their five fucking penalties. I was so angry. Like, how do you have five total between two interior linemen? Like, they were killing drives left and right. We actually got away with it a couple times. So we were actually pretty good at converting third down because, as we said in the last segment, it's nothing but fucking, you know, West Coast bullshit where you're trying to gain 4.5 yards per play, apparently. Yeah, it was horrible. Larry Borum actually was okay, I think. That's
yep,
the one good piece, right? That
yep.
was he wasn't noticeable. That's all we can ask. The one play that I saw Alex Barrs out for, he absolutely blew it. Absolutely horrible.
Really bad. Yeah. Did he? And he also got a block in the back, I think, right? Like,
perfect.
So yeah. bad. He got burnt so bad that he had a fucking block in the back on it was Bosa, right? I think it
yes.
was Bosa.
Yes.
Who just
yes.
oh yeah, Barrs got embarrassed. Larry Borum, yeah, he looked pretty good. I mean the tackles yeah. I don't think were the problem. You hit it right on the head. James Daniels, Cody Whitehair. Oh boy. They were supposed to be the reliable ones on that offensive
yeah.
line. And they were and those five penalties, are you counting the one where Daniels and Whitehair got a penalty?
Oh,
on the same
you know
play,
what?
They each got one, and one of them got waved off.
That's a good point. Yeah, let's say it's six. Six flags. Six. Been there.
Just fucking horrible. Ineligible players downfield. Like, what are we doing? That's high school shit.
Oh, my
it's
God.
It's just unbelievable. Just horrible play. And they're gonna get Justin Fields killed. They're going to get him killed if they continue this. I don't know what you do. I mean, that offense should have been built around getting Justin out of the pocket and getting it out of there quickly. Oh, boy. He was running
oh
for his life. Oh, boy. That's I say
oh
that.
Oh, boy.
Do you, I say that often during the game.
I do.
Snap. It's like snap and someone's all over Justin immediately. And I go, oh, boy. Oh, boy. Here we go. The same shit. So
it's not
yikes.
Great. Okay, I have two quick questions for you just to tie a bow around your oak tree. Hubba, hubba! First of all, what's your favorite ride at Six Flags? We talked about Six Flags.
Six Flags?
Yeah, there were Six Flags, if we're counting.
Oh, God. The Viper.
Okay, I'm a big Batman guy. Second of all, I know this is not Justin Fields' goal, but I neglected to mention it. How fast is Justin Fields where he made Bosa look like he was running in fucking mud, getting around
yeah.
the edge?
Oh boy. That's a different kind of oh boy.
Boing, 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 boing. I'm sure that was a treat to listen to. No, yeah. Fields, he's just fast. He's the best athlete on the field.
That's right. You heard it here second behind Greg Olsen. All right. Can we talk about Chris Tabor a little bit? He was filling in for Matt Nagy. Very energetic. Congratulations, Chris. Obviously, yep. A horrible special teams coach. We'll get to that in a second. But he looks like a very beat up Conan O'Brien.
He does. Good call. I'll be honest. I don't think I've ever seen him before. Like, I wouldn't have known him if he was laying in my arms and dying. I still wouldn't know who the fuck he was. But he was very animated, very much a special teams guy on the sideline. Like, just calm down a little bit, Chris. But what? Now all I'm picturing is Conan O'Brien with a headset on the Bears sideline, which I would much rather prefer over anyone else we got. But Chris Tabor, I guess, fine. How do you judge? What did he do? Like, who is he talking to?
What did he do? Exactly. What was in his headset? He was excitable. He seems like a very weird guy, I think, is kind of what I'm trying to get at. Like, that's a guy that'll kind of maybe slide into the locker room showers a little bit and just start smacking some asses. Like, great job. Oh, hell of a block. Borum. By the way, are you on the periodic table? Nice dick.
Nice dick. I'd rather have Chris Tabor than Matt Nagy. I'll tell you that much.
Same.
I mean,
do it.
If we're going to trade him, let's just make it happen. So, beat up Chris Conan O'Brien. Good job. I give him a C+.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's probably generous. So the offense, even though we just shit on the offensive line for the most part outside of the tackles, they were better than the defense and certainly better than special teams. Oh, I can't bury the lead anymore with special teams. You and I were texting each other when who said it? Was it Adam Amin or was it?
I think it was Adam. Yeah. It was Adam Amin. And I fucking cracked up when he said the Bears are the worst punt coverage team in the NFL. And I couldn't text you fast enough to say, did you hear that? You knew it was coming, right?
I was hoping so. I was hoping you were watching live at that point because I know you were catching up. You were watching on your phone. You were handing out Reese's Pieces to the neighbors. Hubba, hubba. I just sharted down my leg. It was so amazing when he said that. I thought that you fed him those stats. Like, hey, Adam and me. Like, you saw him at a Bulls game. Like, hey, you got to say this on Sunday. I'll give you $30 if you say this. Like, that's how I pictured it. And he nailed it. You nailed it. You texted. Actually, it's very suspicious how quickly you texted me now.
You think so?
This is rigged.
Make sure you're watching. You're going to love hearing the next thing. I would love to be friends with Adam Amin. I love that guy. So if I had a connection with him, he seems like the type of guy who would say it just to get under your skin, Bill. Not that you care, but.
No, I love it.
They're a bad punt coverage team.
I said it in the preseason. You did. And they're horrible. They haven't looked as bad since the preseason until yesterday. They looked horrible. But you also hinted last game, because we love talking punters. Shout out Hugh Robertson. We love you so much. Hugh would have done a much better job than Pat O'Donnell.
Yep.
Pat O'Donnell? Yeah. Did he kick the ball basically on the ground as hard as he could, as fast as he could. Like, I feel like it got there immediately. I feel like he was kicking darts. The whole thing just felt off.
Yeah, I just feel like Tabor just needs to say, like, hey, man, get a little height under that. We're not worried about distance here. We want to just get the coverage right. But I don't know. It's Chris Tabor's job. You know, he's hosting a late night show. Is Conan O'Brien still doing it, or is he?
I think he's done now.
He's done? Okay.
Yeah. I think he retired? Question mark. I don't know if it's technically retirement or if TBS said,
yeah, that sounds right.
We need more reruns of Bones.
Bones and 6,000 hours of SVU. Oh, someone else got sexually assaulted in New York City. Bum, bum. Okay. Yeah, so special teams terrible. Special teams. Can we talk about Jakeem Grant for a second? That guy's a madman.
I love him. I love him
so much. I'm glad you say it. You said it because he's not good. He shouldn't be doing what he's doing. But
he's also not bad. He's not good, but he's not bad.
He's putting in a lot of effort to get exactly where we would have gotten if he would just take a fucking knee. And I love it. It's entertaining, but he's going to get someone hurt. He's going to get himself hurt. We're going to get a penalty, so we're going to go half the distance to the goal on that. So none of it makes sense. But you know what? Let's just get weird. So I'm all in on Jakeem Grant. Thank you, Ryan Pace, for trading a draft pick that we obviously don't need for a punt returner who gives no fucks. I love him. I just decided, during the game, I was like, I fucking love this guy. He's crazy.
He is. He's insane. I can't get enough of him. I hope the defense, you know, picks it up so we get more punt opportunities. And if they don't, at least we have kick return opportunities. So either way, Jakeem Grant is going to be in our life. He'll take it back 9 yards deep in the end zone. Just say, fuck it. I'm here for one reason. He's a Tasmanian devil. He is going to return one for a touchdown. I feel like he's just going to find his way. Do you think he closes his eyes when he catches the ball and just starts running? That's how I picture
no
it.
Doubt. Yeah. No doubt. Like a Forrest Gump type of run down the field. Can we get him on the punt coverage team? I feel like he would be amazing flying down
coverage.
The
coverage. Yeah.
Is he on the team? I mean, I would assume he's not out there.
No,
but
he's so small, but that's a good idea.
Yeah. He will run down and just catch the punt like he can actually return it in the air on the coverage team. I'm fully convinced. No, I love Jakeem Grant.
I'm glad he's here.
I think we should consider him for Golden Cock. That's what I'll say. Well, let's not do that yet, but.
Interesting. Interesting. Okay. All right. Okay.
Just because he makes me smile.
Yeah. No, he's fantastic. Gives zero fucks, as we mentioned the first time we laid eyes on him. I think it was a Raiders game, maybe, and he has not let up since. It's been amazing. Let's just talk about the defense real quick, because they were so horrible.
Awful.
They were awful. They made Jimmy G look incredible. I feel like it was the same shit. It was down the middle of the field, which I guess if your two safeties are guys that I don't think I've ever heard of, besides Houston Grant. I got Jakeem Grant in the mind. and then Tabor, like Tabor's magical son, right? There's another Tabor out there.
Yeah.
Then, you know, good for San Francisco for actually taking advantage of something again, which we did not do on Sunday when Jimmy Ward was out of the game. Of course, we did not try to take advantage of Jimmy Ward's back, because why would we? Why would we think
why,
on our
why
feet
would we?
As a coaching
right.
staff? We wouldn't do that. We definitely wouldn't do that.
No,
no pass rush, no hits on an immobile quarterback who also ran for two touchdowns.
Yeah, right.
Should we be concerned, or was that a fluke? Is it a product of Khalil Mack? What do you think?
They were awful. They were horrible. They were bad the entire game. And then after they gave up that 3rd and 20 screen pass to Samuel and he almost punched it in, then it was just all completely downhill from there. Yeah, no sacks, no turnovers, no punts. They didn't punt once.
Yep.
Like, it's how did they not hang 75 points on us, right? Just looking at those stats. So it's they're bad. I mean, not having Khalil Mack, not great. Robert Quinn seems like he's still putting in an effort, at least.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Eddie Jackson hurt third play of the game. Yeah. That made zero impact. Like, who cares? I mean, this was a game for Eddie Goldman to show up, right? I mean, how irrelevant is that guy? He had one tackle. I was like, did he even play? He had one fucking tackle. You know, the guy who's, maybe I'm not going to play this year. I'm just out lifting a lot of weights. Like, that guy stinks. He just stinks. I don't know what else to say. Akeem Hicks, they were all bad, just really bad. And it's when you give Jimmy G like 15 minutes to throw the ball, which just makes it so much harder to watch a team actually protect their quarterback, and then Justin Fields has someone breathing down his neck the minute the ball is snapped. So, I don't know what to say. They were awful. They were horrible. And I got nothing. They were shitty.
Yep, they were shitty. Yeah, Eddie Goldman has been a complete non-factor this entire year from what we can tell. It was nice to have Hicks back from injury, but he might as well not have been there either. He did make some plays down the field, oddly enough. Like, so he's hustling. He's not quitting. That's, I guess, the big takeaway. And some people were wondering if they kind of quit. I don't, after that horrible screenplay on 3rd and 20, I don't think so. I think it's way too early to say that, but I guess the next few weeks we'll be able to tell more, right? And I don't even know. That's something I'm pretty loath to do, is say that this team's quitting.
Right. Do you think Khalil Mack is seriously hurt? When I saw he was going on the IR, honestly, it felt like just the right time where he's like, yeah, I'm a little banged up. I just give me a few weeks off.
It makes sense with the bye week, right? It lines up.
Yeah, I guess, but...
I guess.
If we were first in the division right now, you think he would be on the IR?
I think it's a fair question. He's had such a good fucking year, even though he's been hurt. Like, I don't know. I'm not sure.
There didn't seem to be like one play where he got hurt, right? Like he finished last week's game, and then Tuesday rolls around, they're just like, he might be out for a bit. Nah, he's in the IR. It just felt very much like, well, I'm not gonna waste my time if we're not a contender. And look, I don't know, obviously. I don't know if any of us know except the people in Hollis Hall, but I just thought the timing of morale being extremely low, just the convenience of being like, yeah, I'm just going to sit out for a little while, was interesting. Grasping at straws, I guess. I don't know.
No, that's fine. I wouldn't blame him if he's, you know, taking a couple weeks off to rest his ailing foot. I don't know. I'm not sure. A couple other things before we get to Pittsburgh and or big picture things. Crowd seemed very 49ers-y. I don't know if you picked up on the same thing on your telly or your phone. It seemed very loud when the 49ers were doing good things. Did you notice the
Agreed.
Same?
Yeah. I totally thought it seemed like a very strong 49ers crowd. But I think 49ers have fans all over the country, right? We're kind of that age when kids were growing up and they were kind of in their heyday a little bit. So I could see why people were gravitated towards them, but they don't come here often. So I'm sure that was a big thing for them, but yeah, it seemed like a very heavy 49ers crowd. It was Halloween. So a lot of regular Bears fans are like, yeah, I'm not fucking doing that, myself included. So yeah. I guess it kind of made sense. And we sucked.
That's kind of what I'm getting at. I think that's a bad sign for the McCaskies. If you're halfway through this year and you got Bears fans selling their tickets to a great fan base like San Francisco, but everybody coming in here is not going to be of that energetic fan base. So I'm thinking there's going to be a lot of empty seats here in 2021, the second half of the year. Not yours, Dan. Not yours. But that's not good for, obviously, the McCaskies, like I said, but that's a bad sign for Matt Nagy. Because that shit, that's how you get these guys' attention, as we always hear from the Mike Mulligans of the world, right? Not paying for that $16 beer that you got to pay cash because they just changed the rules in the line.
It's true, though. I think that's the only thing that actually does get the McCaskies' attention. Because nothing else works like the actual football on the field. But, you know, whatever. I think you're right. I think once we hit, like, the Vikings coming into town, and if the two teams are trending the way they are, nobody's going to be at that game. So, fuck.
Right. Fuck. Hopefully Chris Tabor's got his headset on again. Okay. Anything else for the game before we jump into the Golden Cock?
Nope. Let's put that game to bed.
All right. So, Zero Doinks, Cornish Hen, Player of the Week, as voted on by our fans at Eggs across the world. It seemed, this could be controversial, but it seemed very strong in our WhatsApp app in JF1's corner for his first potential career win. You seem to be leaning a different way, potentially, Dan. You do have veto power. You have every right to go whichever direction you feel. What do you think, buddy?
I really want to do Jakeem Grant, but I can't do that. That's too silly. It's got to be JF1. I mean, he played his ass off. He looked good, and I know he's been dying for that golden cock. So yeah, let's give it to JF1.
Oh, thank you so much. I've been wanting to be delivered. I want to look Uno straight in the eyes, especially because we're only 3.5 weeks until Thanksgiving. Hey, everybody, remember, this holiday that's upcoming in 3.5 weeks, it's about turkey. It's not about Cornish heads. Don't shoost me. I'm classy, and I smell like eggs. Congratulations, Justin. It's 1 in a million. You're going to get a lot more of these. Fuck you, Jakeem Grant.
JF1's still a vegan or vegetarian? Oh,
he might be.
He's very much into saving Cornish hens. Pablo eats Cornish hens like bone and all. He's just cleaning his teeth with those bones right as he's putting on his chaps ready to go on his annual Thanksgiving motorcycle ride. So congrats, Justin and Pablo.
Yep, his first NFL award among many, I'm sure. We're not going to go over the schedule this week and our chances of the seventh seed. That's nope. For a later episode. This episode's about the trade deadline, which is tomorrow at 3 p.m. Central, I think. Okay, a few questions I have for you off the top of my head. First of all, which direction are the Bears going to go, if any? Second of all, which direction should the Bears go? Third of all, are there going to be any press releases from Hallis Hall tomorrow about anything having happened? Go.
Oh, what was the first question?
Which direction should they go? Or will they go?
Should they go?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Should they go, they should be sellers big time. If they're saying that we're contenders, they're kidding themselves. But we're dealing with a regime that knows they're halfway out the door, so it could be desperation time. I think everyone, with the exception of JF1, who else would be untouchable? JF1, I would say maybe Roquan even. Maybe not Roquan. Like, you can have one of the running backs, Herbert or Montgomery, like, we need to get a lot of draft capital back. I think Pace is dumb enough to believe that he's like one player away from turning the season around. So I'm really worried about that. But I think in the end, they're not going to be able to do anything. I don't think we have a lot of players that hold a ton of value. Like Mac, maybe. Like you saw the Von Miller trade today. That could have been Mac, maybe. But if Khalil Mack is actually hurt, then maybe he can't. Nobody wants him. So, yeah, I'm trying to think who else. JF1, maybe Roquan, but I think everyone else is available. I don't know. What do you think? What do you think about that?
Yeah, I don't. As much as I love Roquan, I think you can find another middle linebacker if you absolutely have to, right? And
it's true.
I love him. I'd hate to see him out the door. JF1, completely untouchable. I would hate to have to create another segment within possibly another segment. It'd be very confusing. So for that reason alone, he's untouchable. But yeah, I was looking at, you see, when I texted offline a little bit about the trade deadline, I looked at, like, okay, who actually has cap room that's a contender that might be willing to take on some salary? Most of the teams with salary cap room are shit teams. So it's like something, right. Okay, Allen Robinson, but I don't even know how it works necessarily. Like, I think his cap hit is like $18 million or something.
Right.
I was going through this exercise. It was a reminder of how many horrible contracts we have.
Right.
Andy Dalton at $10 million. Like, Andy Dalton could be a decent piece for New Orleans right now, right? $10 million. They don't have $10 million of cap space. Are we going to take on an actual player? I don't know. Maybe Taysom Hill. Let's flip him.
That would kill me, Bill. No, thank you.
Right. But that's the thing. God, and no. Foles, like $7 or $8 million. It's like, we've got guys like Hicks should have some value, but I bet it's probably like a fifth rounder, and which I would do at this point, because why not? If you're not going to re-sign him, and why, I don't know that you should. Yeah. It's the second that they brought back Nagy and Pace, no matter how this year was going into the trade deadline, you were going to be buyers, not sellers, right?
Right.
That was the decision that was made in the offseason. So another, God damn it. It's like.
But we know that, Bill. We know that. Yeah. I feel pretty confident that they do not know that in Hallis Hall. They think they're in a much different space than they actually are. And it's really scary. I mean, it's everything they do is fucking scary. And Pace should not be allowed. I mean, I don't think we have any draft capital to give up anymore. I feel like the league at some point's got to step in and say, you guys got to knock it off. You can't keep giving up picks. You're just not going to have a franchise anymore. So I'm nervous. I'm more nervous than anything that they're going to do something really stupid. They're going to take, like you said, like they could trade somehow they'll trade Nick Foles to the Saints and send a pick along with it.
Oh God.
And it'll be something ridiculous like that. There was some speculation, I think, on Twitter and a little bit on the radio today about sending one of our running backs to the Titans, but they're not going to give up anything just the short-term replacement for Derrick Henry. That's just not going to happen. So
we're stuck
with the team that we have. We've handcuffed ourselves these terrible contracts and shitty players, and we're just going to have to ride it out. And I'm, you know, this time tomorrow, I hope that we've pretty much done nothing, because I don't trust anything that Ryan Pace is going to do to help this team in the future.
This is funny. I think we said the exact same thing at this point last year, actually. This was like deja vu, but I think we had this conversation. Like, we were relieved after the trade deadline that Ryan Pace did not become a buyer, even though in his own mind he's a buyer. Can I read you something real quick from Dan Pompey's article today about the trade deadline?
Is this about him rubbing and tugging himself in Vegas? I hope so.
Sadly, it's not, but this is what he said. And I quote from The Athletic, Dan Pompey, Hall of Fame writer. That means you need more writers. The Bears, quote, the Bears can make a significant statement if they make a move before the trade deadline Tuesday. Trading players who have current value to the Bears would send the wrong message to a team trying to develop a young quarterback with a head coach trying to save his job and the job of many who work for him. However, trading a player such as Andy Dalton, Nick Foles, or Jimmy Graham, who have not been used much, would make sense. Unquote. Who the fuck is going to trade for Jimmy Graham?
Nobody.
Dan Pompey? Literally. Yeah. What?
Outrageous. Hall of Fame. Are we sure he's in the actual Hall of Fame? As a writer, or does he just say it? Nobody's going to look it up.
I think that's it more than anything. I feel like it started with Mully and Ha-ha. They started calling him that, and nobody's double checked. We should double check.
Yeah, you know what, Dan? Why don't we trade Jimmy Graham for a first round pick, you dumb fucker? Like, get out of my face. I don't even know why you're reading it anymore. You're doing it just for content for this show, which I appreciate. You're saving me.
I want to get worked up. This is the replacement for See Me After Class, basically. It gets me so fired up. But that's not even the Jimmy Graham thing. It's not even the most offensive part of that bullet point. It's the sending the wrong message to the team if you trade people. Like, do you think, like, Danny Trevathan is sitting in his locker room right now thinking, man, we're 3-5, but we are so close to being a Super Bowl contender? No fucking way. Those guys know exactly what's going on. They know that, like, Fields is the future, and that's the most important thing to this fucking, even those guys know that this team is not that great. They're not, they're going nowhere.
Right. Yeah. Dan Pompey, what a joke. Yeah, I think we're, yeah, we just got to be sitting in the safe spot this time. I do remember talking about this last week and having a sense of relief that Ryan Pace wasn't allowed to do anything. I mean, trading for Jakeem Grant for a six, what do we have, a six rounder?
Worth it.
Really, really fucking stupid. I mean, I know it's a six rounder, but we just said we love the guy, but how pointless was that for a guy? We need every pick we can get, and we're trading for a fucking kick returner. Holy shit. Just lock Ryan Pace in a room and throw away the key and set the room on fire in the middle of downtown Naperville. That was too much. I don't want Ryan Pace to get hurt.
Lit on fire. Okay. That's fair. Thank God for small favors. I don't know. That's not an expression. Okay. Real quick before you walk us through the streets of Pittsburgh, which I think is the first time we'll have like a new franchise to talk about here in a minute.
Yeah.
Other week 8 games. Packers Cardinals Thursday night. Did you watch any of that? Any thoughts?
No.
I'm okay. That's great. That's perfect. It hurts because the Packers won. Let's move on. Detroit loses again. Who cares? Why are they in the league? They should be relegated. Let's talk. Can we talk a minute about Vikings Cowboys Sunday night? Did you watch any of it?
Nope.
Okay, that's fine. I can cover you here.
Thank you.
I don't mean to be a dick, but Dustin at that Vikings fan 8.
Oh,
Vikings
no.
Fan. We know we love you, Dustin. We absolutely love you. We totally love you. We had you on our show in Rick Fieldsman's backyard before we got a very high in the middle of COVID. Maybe we may be in the middle of COVID now. Hard to say. Dustin, you put out a tweet. I am so sorry to dox you here, but you put out a tweet after Dallas took the lead with 51 seconds to go in the fourth, and you said 51 seconds is too much time. And there's a picture of you wearing a Kirk Cousins jersey. And you deleted the tweet after the Vikings lost.
No, he deleted it.
He did, because I brought it up just after the game, and then it said this tweet has been deleted, and then I went back and the tweet was gone. Dustin, we're older than you. We've been you. We understand. We appreciate your fandom. The Vikings and the Bears are oh so similar in many ways.
Yeah, very similar.
Okay, first of all, take off. I know. I feel really bad for you, but take off that Cousins jersey and like give it to your dog if your dog is hungry, okay? It's time to get off the Kirk Cousins train. He sucks. 51 seconds is not enough time for Kirk Cousins to drive down the field against anybody. Kirk Cousins, I demand that you watch the last 51 seconds of Kirk Cousins during that game and then report back next week.
All right, I'll bring it up.
It's hilarious. Hilarious. Like, we think we have it bad as Bears fans. We don't have it bad compared to the Vikings right now. I'm sorry, Dustin. I didn't mean to dox you so bad. I love you. Dan loves you. But give it up. You got to give up Kirk Cousins, and you got to do it now. For your own sanity, do it now. Right now.
Do it. That's a tough spot. You're right. Bill, you and I have been there before, and it's eventually you just get old and you start, you know, I said it last week, I'm just dead inside. You just are kind of like hollowed out at a certain point. And you can't be doing stuff like that. You got to be cynical. You got to be critical of every moment. And 51 seconds for Kirk Cousins. If you were on the outside looking in, Dustin, you would see how silly that is. And I'm sorry with you and for you, my friend.
Yeah.
And when you said feed your cousin's jersey to your dog, there definitely was a dog is going to choke on that jersey joke somewhere. I just couldn't put it together in my brain.
We never said we were smart. We never said that. We think on our feet like the Bears coaching staff halfway through the third quarter when you need to make adjustments. We love you, Dustin, but just take it from two Bears fans that are dead inside. The sooner that you're cynical, the better you'll feel, I think.
It makes life easier.
Yeah, it does, and we're not the most cynical fans, even by a long shot. So keep listening, everybody, I guess is my point. And Dustin, just give it up. He sounds like us after Rex Grossman, Jay Cutler, and Mitch Trubisky, except there's a lot more evidence to suggest that Kirk Cousins is terrible and overpaid.
Well, what happened to the Kellen Mond? Didn't he go to the Vikings? Mm-hmm. What happened to the crowd of, oh, he's better than Justin Fields? Where are you at, the Vikings fans? Oh. Shouldn't he be playing instead of Kirk Cousins? Kirk Cousins is trash. He'll have one great game against a terrible team. We'll be like, oh, my God, he threw for four touchdowns. But he's trash. You watch him play, he's not good. So I don't know where that crowd's at. I mean, as Bears, I mean, we're calling for JF1 almost immediately. I don't know where the Kellen Mond crew is at. So should it start? Is he on the hot seat?
I don't know. I think they're blaming Mike Zimmer for everything. And that might be part of it. That old one-eyed bastard. What'd you say earlier? Something like, you could have one eye, you could have two eyes, you could have three eyes.
Three eyes, yeah.
Maybe that's what Mike Zimmer needs. He needs that third eye. I think he has a third eye already, Dan.
Yeah, he's got a good-looking girlfriend from what I remember, so hubba hubba boing boing boing. Mike Zimmer.
See me after class with your girlfriend, maybe. That was creepy. Dan, it is Steelers week. Sorry, Dustin, we love you. Slide into our DMs. Or any other Vikings fans, explain the Kellen Mond, Kirk Cousins dynamic besides anything. We know nothing. All right. Bears visiting Pittsburgh Monday, November 8th. I can do that math because today is Monday the 1st. Thank God.
Bingo.
Hate calendars, but love it when you land on the 1st. Dan, would you mind walking all of us through Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, buddy?
You got it, my friend. You ever been to Pittsburgh?
I have. I like Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh is a pretty cool city.
I've heard good things. Never been, but heard good things. All right. I had to force that one out. Sorry, everyone. All right, Bears are 19-7-1 all time against the Steelers. That was kind of shocking. I just figured the Steelers had kicked the shit out of us for a million years. Bears are currently on a 3-game winning streak against the Steelers, so I'm sure that won't end this weekend. The last game that we played the Steelers, September 24th, 2017, in Chicago, Bears win 23-17 in overtime. The only thing I remember from this game is the Steelers. There was a lot of odd stuff around the Steelers and whether they were going to take a knee or come out for the national anthem. And the only person that came out for the national anthem was Alejandro Villanueva, who stood in the tunnel, and it was real awkward. And the Steelers just seemed off the entire game. You remember that? Like, I remember what is wrong with the Steelers? And it seemed like a lot of it was that off-the-field stuff that sort of trickled on, just trickled into the game itself. But Jordan Howard had a 19-yard touchdown run in overtime to win the game. Mike Glennon, 101 yards passing, one touchdown, one interception. The only touchdown was to Adam Shaheen.
Oh, my God. Horrible.
So if I told you Mike Glennon had 101 yards passing, one touchdown to Adam Shaheen and one interception, how much money would you bet that we lost that game? I would have just emptied my bank account. It's shocking that we won that game.
Yeah. Horrible. I think, was that when we were investing with Orange Jeff? Because I feel like I regretted actually not taking the Bears. Because it made no sense. It was like that was the game that the Bears win every year that we talked about last week.
Yeah,
a little bit. You win out of nowhere. Yeah,
weird one.
Whatever.
All right. That's enough about that game. Last game in Pittsburgh was September 9th, 2013. Bears win 40-23. The Bears forced 5 turnovers in the game. Julius Peppers and Major Wright each had a touchdown on defense. The Steelers outgained the Bears 459 yards to the Bears 258, and they still lost to us. Just terrible. The Steelers were 0-3 after this loss. Cutler had 159 yards, one touchdown. Big Ben had 460 yards passing, 2 touchdowns and 2 interceptions. Antonio Brown with 196 yards and two touchdowns. Just looking at the stats again, it's like baffling. You just look at, if you looked at the stats, didn't know the score, you'd be like, oh, the Steelers beat the shit out of the Bears, but they somehow lose by 17 to the shitty Bears. So maybe that's the theme with the Steelers and the Bears. Just, we're going to get the shit bend, don't break, and we'll end up squeaking out a win. I'm not confident in it, but you never know. You never know, Bill. All right, that's all I got for those two games. Any more thoughts on those?
I don't remember the game you're talking about at all. Like, not even same. A little bit. Yeah.
No, same.
What's wrong with us?
I do this a lot. There's like a period of time in my life where some of these Bears games are very blurry in my mind. And I know it's just early kids. Like that was when I had little kids then, and I just mm-hmm. was basically just sleepwalking for a few years. Still kind of doing it. So that's about that time for me. I can't speak for you. Does that sound about right?
I mean, it certainly can be accurate, yeah. Or maybe I do too much cocaine. I don't do any Mons.
What are you, Chris Forrester? Yeah. Yes. All right, let's do the coaching staff. The coach, Mike Tomlin, does not carry that many coaches. Just looking on the website, I don't think he has any quality control coaches, none of those weird interns. It's just like the straight up position coaches and the position coaches and good to go. So I meant to look that up before this to see just how many, like, what was the number of coaches that he has on his staff, because it's real thin in numbers, which was kind of impressive. So, all right, Mike Tomlin, he's been the head coach with the Steelers since 2007. He's never had a losing season with the Steelers. God. Is that insane?
Yes.
And I'd kind of forgotten what his path was before he got to the Steelers. He didn't really have any good jobs. He was defensive coordinator for the Vikings for 1 year before he got the head coaching job. So, random. It just didn't. Like, how the hell did they find him? Like, how was he even up for an interview?
Yeah, I remember it being super weird. And because the Steelers have, like, hopefully I'm not stepping on any of your thunder here. That's not an expression. But, like, they've not had many head coaches in the history of their franchise. And it's like, really, you're going to trust this guy based on that theory? This guy that's never been a head coach and he's barely been a coordinator? Genius. Hired Mike Tomlin, can the Bears genius. Hire that person, please?
No, they can't. We would never do that. They'd be the smartest guy in the room, and they'd get rid of him immediately because they need nothing but dummies.
Yep.
I think they've had three head coaches like in the Super Bowl era, something along those lines. Cower and Chuck Knoll, I want to say, right? Those three guys mm-hmm. pretty much through the Super Bowl era. Mm-hmm. Okay. Offensive coordinator is a guy named Matt Canada. I was disappointed to find out he's not actually Canadian. It's his first year as offensive coordinator for the Steelers. He was the quarterback coach last year. He's bounced around quite a bit. He had stops at Northern Illinois, Wisconsin, LSU, and Maryland. He was the interim head coach at Maryland after that DJ Durkin guy was put on leave when that offensive lineman died. Jordan McNair, I think he went 5-7 in his year at Maryland. So not horrible after a weird year, but every stop that he goes, he's there for just a couple of years. So he's probably on his way out soon.
Yeah. Do
you know Matt Canada? I said his name and you were shaking your head.
I know the name. He's a popular college football, like, this guy's an offensive genius. Oh, he should be our head coach kind of guy. Yeah. So the Maryland thing rings true. But that's pretty alarming if it's like 2 years here, 2 years there. Does he have a problem with his meat puppet, do you think, in these stops?
Are you suggesting he's like a priest and they just keep shifting him around churches?
Yep.
Okay. All right. You'll have to ask the Pope on that one. Okay. Wide receiver
coach. I don't have his number! May Mason sticks.
All right, wide receiver coach is Ike Hilliard. Hilliard, is that how you say his name?
Oh yeah.
He was a first round pick out of Florida. Played for the Giants and the Bucks. He's been a wide receiver coach in the NFL since 2011. I thought he was like just in the league. Like, if you would have told me how long ago was he in the league, I would have said he probably was like 2019. I don't know why that name just jumps out. I feel like he was on a million of my fantasy teams and was fairly disappointing. But he's been, yeah, since 2011, he's been a coach. He's been with the Steelers since last year. Defensive coordinator is a gentleman named Keith Butler. He's been the defensive coordinator since 2015. He was the Steelers' linebacker coach from 2003 to 2014. So pretty good run for him there. He coached Joey Porter, James Ferrier, Lawrence Timmons, Lamar Woodley, and James Harrison. So, like, he might know his shit. Like, that's a good run. Like, you think of Steelers linebackers during that era, they were badass motherfuckers.
Okay, put him on the list for future Bears head coach. Building the list.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you for putting that together. Okay, that's it. That's all I have for the coaches since it was so razor thin in numbers, which I wasn't mad about. The front office, the president is Art Rooney II. He's apparently like the main owner. He's a third generation owner. He's the grandson of grandson of Art Rooney I. He should just go by the first. And he's the son of Dan Rooney. And the Rooneys are related to the Giants Mara family by marriage, which is weird. Mm-hmm. The vice president of the Steelers is Art Rooney Jr. So there's an Art Rooney II and Art Rooney Jr., which I believe is Art Rooney II's uncle. I think he might be brother of Dan Rooney. I'll be honest, Bill, could not be more confused about who the Rooneys are, who's involved. Because there's a lot of arts, and then the Mara family jumps into the mix, and they're mixing names up. Very confusing. I don't have a clue.
Do they, on their website, do they provide a graphic image of a family tree, perhaps animated, that you might see in people's homes? Do they have any of those plates with, like, cows and birthdays and names? And I don't know if you know what I'm talking about there. That's a little bit stupid.
You mean what like old Irish Catholic families would do? Just have like...
Perhaps.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It's funny you should say that. I did look at a family tree. Did not clear things up for me at all. It was still very confusing. Because the Rooneys are split up. I think what they did is, you know, I think we... I don't know if we've talked about it on here or off the air about what happens with the Bears when Virginia dies and how the shares... I think there has to be a certain percentage of one family member that owns the team. That seemed to be what the Steelers were doing, and they family had to sell off their shares to Art Rooney II, and he's like 30% ownership, and they've eventually sold off quite a bit of the other shares to various people, one of which is ex-Illinois governor Bruce Rauner is somehow... a part owner as of 2009. It didn't share what percentage, but I was like, it rattled off a few of the owners, like minority owners, and Bruce Rauner. I was like, that can't be the Bruce Rauner. Sure enough, it is. That sleazebag motherfucker.
That's so super weird.
Weird. Very weird.
Yeah.
I'll be honest, I was very confused, also lost interest, and I don't really care. So I'm sure this is getting boring. So let's move on. GM is Kevin Colbert. You were talking about the GM who hired, what's his face? Tomlin. That would be, I think, Colbert. He's been the GM since 2010, but he's been with the Steelers since 2000. So Tomlin would have started before his time. So that's
so that
it
doesn't solve that mystery. I guess.
Definitely does not. There's one Illini player. He's the starting center. You know who it is?
Yeah, Kendrick Green.
I think you were pushing for the Bears to take him, right? In some He's fashion. Awesome. How high did he go?
I want to say it was third round. Maybe second, okay. But I feel like third, yeah.
Okay. All right. No Gophers on the team. So that's really all I got for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Okay. Well, you know what? That's a fantastic walkthrough. They're a strange team. I cannot get a feel for them at all. Like, Roethlisberger might as well be 86, but they're above 500, so they might be doing something right. I don't know.
I think they're lacking in talent, maybe. Like, Big Ben seems fucking awful, but I think they're very well coached, so that will get them. That will get them by. They're like the exact opposite of the Bears. The exact opposite. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know. The Monday Night Football aspect makes me real nervous that things could get weird quick.
Yeah, well, they could definitely get weird. Yeah, especially with the defense looking a bit soggy. Well, we'll make our picks a couple segments from now, but we're going to mix Ooh. Some stuff up, aren't we, here?
We are.
And we will be sliding into Bears Fantasy Corner because we know you can't wait for our hot, hot fantasy picks. Dan, thank you for your research, as always. I feel prepared for the Steelers game, and I'm sure our listeners do, too. Zerdoinks.
Hi, I'm Bruce Rauner. I own the Steelers. Bruce Rauner.
Do you have a bear that you fantasize about every Sunday? So do we. It's Bears Fantasy Corner. Zero doinks.
Zero doinks.
Zero doinks.
Oh, so many Bears to fantasize about every weekend. Why stop at the weekend? Fantasize about them all the time, I would say, right? I mean, just who wouldn't picture a nude Cody Whitehair walking around your backyard, I guess, right, Dan? Nah, it's a bad example. It's a real bad example, probably. Dan, how'd we do? How'd we do last week, buddy? I think you may have broken a bit of a slump.
Yeah, I feel like I had to cheat a little bit to get myself closer to even this week. So I had JF1, who had 30 fantasy points. Now that I look at it, does that seem a little high? He had two touchdowns, maybe not. Over 100 rushing yards. All right, he had 30. You had JP Holtz, correct? That was
correct, yeah.
Unfortunately, JP Holtz had 0 points, so I got you this week, but you're still up four games. You've won four, I've won three, and we've tied on one game. We both had a goose egg. All right, so Bill, let you go first. Who do you like this week? Feel free to take JF1 if you'd like.
No, I appreciate the offer. That's fantastic. It is tempting, but no, I don't need it. I do want it, but I'm going to take a hard pass because there's somebody on the Bears roster that is positioned to do very well against the Steelers. I've been doing a lot of research. I've been seeing how you could really dig deep and take advantage of a lot of holes in the Steelers' D against that amazing defensive coordinator we were talking about last segment. So there's only one way to go, okay? We're going offense, so that's a start. We're going to go against a guy that can receive touchdowns, but he's not in the wide receivers room. He's not in the running back room. He's possibly allowed in the tight end room because he's been out with COVID a long time. It's Jimmy Graham, well-rested, very tall, very strong, very overdue to get a catch, much less a touchdown. So here it is, one catch, one touchdown, 1 yard. Jimmy Graham, 6.35 points is my pick. Back to you, Dan.
I was actually going to pick Jimmy Graham as well.
Damn it!
I like that. I think one of us has picked Jimmy Graham maybe all but 2 weeks, and one of them included, I think, myself taking him when he was on the COVID list. So,
yep.
So I'm glad that Jimmy's still getting a lot of play. Why don't you give me... now that my guy's taken...
Well, you were actually going to go Jimmy Graham for real?
I was going to go Jimmy Graham.
Oh, man. Sorry.
I think we have this guy. He's getting a lot of play. He was great on jumping on loose balls this past weekend. We're going to go with Ryan Nall.
That was going to be my other pick.
We're going to go We're going to go Ryan Nall. For some reason, he's going to get two rushing touchdowns. He's going to have a fumble, but recover it. He's probably going to throw a pass backwards, probably to Tariq Cohen on the sidelines. Tariq Cohen's still dead. I mean, I guess he's not dead. They show him on the sidelines, mm-hmm. Is he ever going to play football again? I feel like we're in the time of him coming back, or talks about him coming back, and nobody talks about it.
Yeah, that's very strange, because I'd love to take him in this segment for sure at
I
some
absolutely
point.
Would.
Yeah, yeah, we need more options. We're running out of guys, as you alluded to. Jimmy Graham has been represented the majority of all these weeks, some of which he hasn't played. Okay, Ryan Nall's a great call. He got way too much playing time, but good for him. Really sad that the Bears... That was our third option this week at running back, Ryan Nall, right? As a general roster, that's embarrassing.
It's not great. They have an infatuation with Ryan Nall, though, that can only be explained inside the boardroom of Hallis Hall. I mean, I don't know why he's still around. What does he get paid? Is he like a couple hundred grand a year?
Help us out, Frank. Google that shit. Is he on the trading block? He might, because I think he's a great value, right?
Yeah, no doubt. We're getting a 12th round pick for him. Mm-hmm. Doesn't even exist, but we're getting a 12th rounder for him. All right, let's do the top performers this week, brought to you by John Lithgow, brought to you by John Lithgow's Star, which has fur on it for reasons I can't remember. But
Harry and the Hendersons.
Yeah, Harry and the Hendersons. So is it real Sasquatch fur, or is it like, I don't know why I was picturing like a fuzzy, like pink.
No.
Okay.
Uh-uh. It is brown. It's genuine. It's a bit dirty because of tourist feet.
Yep. Makes sense.
But it's still genuine. You do a DNA test on that puppy and it's coming up 100% Squatch.
Okay. All right. Good. Well, here's the top performers this week. Top performer, Mike White. Is that that's the Jets guy, right?
Yep.
Coming in for Zach Wilson. He led this week with 39 fantasy points. Josh Allen was next, 37.46 fantasy points. Tom Brady, 37.2. Geno Smith was fifth this week with 30 fantasy points. So Mike White and Geno Smith available in our league. I'm sure they'll do this all again, right? Probably will add up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mike White, also the head coach of Florida Gators basketball. So he's versatile.
Oh, okay. Oh, great. Mm-hmm. Is that true? I wouldn't have known that. Mm-hmm. It's not Billy Donovan anymore?
No, but we'll get to him in the outro, maybe.
Boing, boing, boing. All right, Taysom Hill, Trash Performers of the Week, presented by GLAD. Remember to throw your Cornish hen bones away this Thanksgiving. Don't let Pablo eat them, because he will come into your house and eat them. We have one trash performer this week, P.J. Walker, quarterback for the Panthers. He came in and threw one incomplete pass for negative 0.25 points, in our fantasy league. So he's the only negative performer this week. So, P.J. Walker.
Thanks, P.J. He's not the only P.J. that's going to fuck up this month. More to come on that, Dan.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Big 10-minute.
All right. Taysom Hill still hurt. So, he had zero fantasy points. So, basically a win for him. So, get better, Taysom, because you're probably getting traded to the Bears. And I'll have to act like I love you.
It's not going to happen. No fucking way.
Well, that's it for Fantasy Corner. Okay. Thank you so much for having me, Bill. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for being here, Dan, for not bailing on Zero Doinks, given all that's going on at the Soldiers Field. I appreciate it, and all your research. This has been Bears Fantasy Corner, where you come for your hot, hot daily fantasy and same-game parlay and fantasy football treats. Thanks, buddy.
I'm Jimmy Graham, and I like helicopters.
Hams and bread. Hams and bread. Hams and bread. Hams and bread.
Zero doinks!
Yes. Yes.
Zero doinks!
Yes. Go!
Zero doinks!
Push the ball. Push the ball.
Hams and bread.
Go! Yes. Go! Kick it in!
Hams and bread.
Let's go!
Hams, breads, pick three, printing money's pick of the week.
Hams and bread is here, everybody cheer for your favorite segment. Take it away, Rick.
Hi, this is Rick Fieldsman.
Hams and spreads, hams and spreads.
Rick Fieldsman.
Hams, hams, hams and spreads.
Rick Fieldsman.
Hams and spreads. Hams and spread.
Rick Fieldsman.
Hams and spreads.
Our buddy Rick Fieldsman.
Hams and spreads. Hams and spreads.
Rick Fieldsman. Hams and spreads. Hams and spreads.
Rick Fieldsman.
Ricky Fieldsman.
Rick Fieldsman, my dad.
Hams and spreads. Featuring me, Rick Fieldsman.
All right, doinkers. We are back, coming off the hottest gambling weekend of all time. Rick Fieldsman and you Fieldsmaners went 2-1 with some of the hottest picks. Would have gone 3-0, but had to listen to Bill Doinks that you never bet on Penn State, and that came to bite me in the boot. Anywho, I have three of the hottest picks this week. I reviewed these picks with some close personal friends of mine. A lot of chatter that these are the hottest picks of my career, and I cannot argue that. Rick Fieldsman, a little under the weather. I've been in a constant state of COVID for about a year. We're just going to let this ride into November, the hottest picks. Oh my gosh, let's just get in. Should we get it? Let's get into
hands and spreads, pick one.
Oh, you know we're avoiding the NFL. It is rigged. We've proved it. We're going college football all weekend. First game, Utah at Stanford, Friday night, 9:30 p.m., the hottest time slot for a college football game. Everybody's going to be watching it, either that or cops on FX. Stanford is +7 versus Utah. Stanford is a hot, hot football team. They're going to be playing at home. +7 is the easiest spread of all time, -110. A great way to start your weekend with some of the hottest funds available. Let's go to the next pick.
Hams and spreads, pick two.
Oh, we have North Texas at Southern Mississippi. The North Texas Raiders versus the Southern Mississippi Raiders. North Texas, 5-point favorites. North Texas, all Texas teams are going to win this weekend. That's just a little preview of my last pick. Texas is the hottest football state in the union. I love North Texas -5. Their record is better than people thought. Don't have it in front of me, but North Texas -5. Saturday, 2 p.m. It's a great way to start your Saturday afternoon. Let's go in to the last pick.
Hams and spreads, pick three. Printing money's pick of the week.
Not sponsored this week. No time for that. All the time for the picks. I've been reviewing this board left and right. No, can't talk to the sponsors these days. We have Houston at South Florida Saturday, 6:30 p.m. Houston, 13.5-point favorites. Houston's going to be up 14-0 at the end of the first. Houston's going to win by 26 points. It's going to be the hottest bet of the weekend. Houston versus South Florida. South Florida is a garbage team. The Hurricane's going to be hitting this weekend. Houston, the Astros are going to lose. Everyone's going to be rooting for Houston, the state's college football team. And there you have it, 13.5. The hottest picks. You want to parlay those? +595. The three pick parlay. Oh my gosh. You're welcome, everybody. Let's send it back to the boys. And as always, have a good one at the window.
Crazy for this one, Rick.
And this has been the world's greatest
and first segment within a segment, Hams and Spreads with Rick Fieldsman.
Rick Fieldsman is the smartest person in the whole wide world. Rick Fieldsman can make you a lot of money.
Oh, man, that Dick Fieldsman, he is one slippery gambler.
Ricardo, he's done it again. What's his record at now? 8-7?
He's above 500, yeah, yeah.
Okay,
he's,
all right.
He's feeling good. Dan, did you suggest pushing this segment back because you have a problem, a personal problem with Rick Fieldsman?
He was putting his stink too close to the Bears review, so we had to get a segment in front of the segment within a segment. Not to be confused about the Everton segment that's in a different segment, but also in the same segment.
Yeah, lots to chew on there. Speaking of things to wrap your mouth around, is there a Bears-Steelers line that we should consider here, buddy?
There is, and I'll get to that, my friend. Bears are now 3-5 against the spread. Pittsburgh is 3-4. Bears over is 2-6. We're one of the worst overplays in the NFL, but Pittsburgh is worse. They are 1-5-1 on the over this year. So,
weird.
Maybe consider taking the under, but I don't know that you do that once you hear where the line is at. The Bears are +6.5 this coming Monday night. The over-under is 40. Which way would you go, Bill?
So last week it was also 40, if memory serves, at least at this point in the week, with Bears 49ers. They easily breezed through the over, mostly because the Bears' defense was horrible. I think you got to go over again. 40 is so fucking low. You got to go over. So I would go same game parlay, Bears money line, and the over, and a few other oddities. That's the direction I would go, buddy. How about you?
I would not take the Bears. Don't do that. I like the over as well. I think maybe JF1 will squeeze out a touchdown or two, and then the defense is just going to get carved up. So I think the over is hitting. That'd be my click to pick. Pick to click?
Ooh.
I can't
hard
remember
to say
what it is. Okay, hard to say. It doesn't matter.
It's hard because Rick's segment has totally distracted me. I mean, just – he's just such a – I don't know what the word is to describe. Like, smarmy? Like, uh-huh. Dirty. We know he's dirty. He's definitely smarmy. He's untrustworthy except for his picks. His picks are trustworthy. I don't know. He always throws me off, Dan. He really does.
Did he have a sponsor this week? Was it Matt Nagy again? Hasn't Matt Nagy been a sponsor a couple times?
He has been. That's paid off big time. Big time for that guy.
All right, Bill, what other games in the NFL, the National Football League, do you like this week?
I literally don't know who's playing who besides Bears Steelers, so help me out, buddy. I have not logged in.
All right. I don't think we covered what other NFC North teams are playing this week.
Right.
I got two of them in my picks this week, so you'll get that covered. So let's go. I got four here. And we're just going to keep doing the monster teasers. I'm waiting for Kansas City +3.5 tonight on the monster teaser to finish that one off as another winner. But let's go. Let's go. I like these all straight up, but we're also going to do the monster teaser for these four games. First one, Baltimore is at home against the Vikings. Baltimore is -5. The Vikings suck. We covered that. Sorry, Dustin. Cover your ears. Kirk Cousin stinks. He stinks. So you're going to take Baltimore -5. On the monster teaser, you're going to get Baltimore +8. Bill, who do you like in that game?
So the good news is about an embarrassment in front of a national television audience is that there's always the opportunity to bounce back, especially when it's not a night game. Kirk Cousins, we all know, much better during the day because he's a gremlin. I think that's how that works. Vikings, not only do they cover, but they win outright. Vikings, money line, plus I'm going to guess 275 is my pick.
That's a horrible play. Okay, let's move to the next game. The Chargers, the Los Angeles Chargers are traveling to Philly. Chargers are -2.5, less than a field goal favorites on the road in Philly. that line should be higher, but people think Philly's good because they beat the shit out of the Lions. The Lions also play in the IHSA playoffs this week, so that's going to be tricky for them. So you're going to take the Chargers minus 2.5. You're going to get them at plus 10.5 in the Monster Tees. Bill, why do you like the Eagles?
I don't appreciate you being presumptuous, but the reason that I like the Eagles is because your guy, Jalen Hurts, is the quarterback. He is a guy that knows how to win big games, and there's no bigger game to win besides Justin Herbert. Don't eat my sherbert staring across from you. Who are we talking about here? Whoever's playing the Chargers is my pick. Yeah, Eagles are my pick. Yeah.
All right, another bad pick. All right. We have the Arizona Cardinals at the San Francisco 49ers. Similar to that last game we talked about, the 49ers getting too much respect. They beat the Bears. Big fucking deal. We're terrible. You're going to take the Arizona Cardinals less than a field goal on the road, minus 2.5. Minus 2.5 Cardinals. Same monster teaser. You're going to get them a plus 10.5. Bill, who do you like in that game?
I got to be honest, Dan. I was distracted by a Travis Kelce fumble on the television, and I have no idea the two teams, but I'm going to guess what the teams. I'm going to guess the pick. I'm going to go. I know it's tough after you lose Derrick Henry with a foot injury. I'm going to go Titans plus 14.5, and that's my pick.
Okay, so it was the Cardinals against the San Francisco 49ers. Arizona
Go
Cardinals,
Titans.
big bounce back week for them after losing a heartbreaker to the Packers, third string team at home last week. So they're going to bounce back on the road against the Niners. Niners stink. Last game here, the Green Bay Packers. Mm-hmm. They're on the road at Kansas City. Kansas City's playing right now, but the line as of this morning, Packers plus 2.5. They just seem to be rolling. They're going to ruin my life again this year. So you take the Packers plus 2.5. I'd take a money line as well. I think they're going to win in Kansas City. But just to be safe on a monster teaser, you're going to get Green Bay plus 15.5, Bill.
So on this one, I am going to go Packers. I'm going with you. The Packers are they're going to win outright. It's just going to happen. They're going to be the regular season champs. Congratulations, Packers. They're my pick.
Okay. All right, Bill, those are the games I like this week. Should we talk about the team that has never let us down yet?
Yes.
The boys in blue?
Absolutely kick it to Toffee's Corner. Here we go.
For the first time in podcast history, we welcome you to a segment within a segment within a segment. This is Toffee's Corner, exclusively on Zero Doinks.
Everton fan. For my whole life.
It's Toffee's Corner.
Football.
It's soccer time.
At it, you know your history. It's enough to make your heart go. Oh, we don't care what the red side say. What the heck do we care? Cause we only know that there's gonna be a show when the Everton boys are there.
Toffee's Corner. Exclusively on Zero Doinks.
Newcastle's trash.
Oh, well, today was weird. Everton played during the day, America time, which is the only time that matters, Mike, in England. How'd they do today, buddy?
They lost. They might all the way stink. They looked very bad. They were down 2-0 in the first half. I didn't watch the second half because I thought, you know what, I should probably do my real job and not just skirt through the day watching this trash soccer team. But they lost again, 2-1 on the road against the Wolves, Wolverhampton. I don't know. I don't know who they are. I don't know where they're from. If I said it last week, I forgot it. Like I said, I'm in a daze since I've had children. Mm-hmm. My oldest is nearly 12. So it's a 12-year haze that I'm living through. So get off my back. But Everton, you stink. What other thoughts do you have, Bill?
So my original thoughts, like you know, from when I was paying very close attention today, the first half, it was a horror show, you know, which is timely with Halloween. And the defense seemingly was in the mood to give away goals just like last week. It got a little better after halftime, but just couldn't get that second goal to tie it up. So three losses in a row, that's a bit of a shock. And things need to turn around quickly if we're going to get anything out of this season. Unquote. Dan, are you concerned about relegation?
No, I'm not. Okay. Newcastle's holding down that. They're the bottom feeders right now. We'll be fine. We'll get a few draws here and there. We'll get back on track, get a few points. I think we're still eighth on the table after today. Maybe ninth. I don't know. Who cares? Oh, we're ninth because we play Tottenham this week, who's eighth on the table. So they're frustrating, Bill. They're very, very frustrating to watch.
Yeah. Yeah. They continue to prove us right about picking them because they are.
They're the Bears.
They are. They're the Bears. They're horrible on offense, and now their defense is failing them also. So
yes, yeah. Jordan Pickford's still a very punchable face. Mm-hmm. He looks like he should be like a Boardwalk Empire character. And I want to punch him. I don't like him.
Dan, have you ever punched anybody in the face in real life?
Yeah. Have you not?
Okay. Dan, you've met me. Come on. These hands... They're made
We're made for
tugging
walking
and rubbing. Exactly.
Anywho, next game, Sunday morning. Seems like we got a lot of Sunday games coming up. Is that normal? Does the season shift to Sunday for some reason? I don't like it. But there's home game this Sunday morn in Chicago time. We're playing the Tottenham Hotspurs. Tottenham eighth on the table. They have a -7 goal differential. I think we're even maybe at this point or somewhere around it, -7. So Everton is +170 to win. Tottenham's +180, so fairly even there. Draw is +210. Which way would you go there, Bill?
I am going to go very hard at the draw. Both teams sound very similar despite the point differential that you just alluded to. Draw feels good. It will feel good because it won't be a loss. Everton, tie, book it, stick it, lick it, and flick it. That's my pick. What about you, Dan?
I got Everton winning. This is a bounce-back week. We get right back on track, where this is a start of like a 5-game winning streak. So I say that now, but I also did look ahead to the next game. They play Manchester City, who I think is the defending champs. Does that sound right? If it is, of course I knew that. I'm testing everyone else, and if that's not right, then joke's on you. I'm just making it funny. But Everton is +1,300 for the next game to win. That's how big of dogs they are. So maybe not a 5-game winning streak, but just got to be one game at a time, Bill. That's what Rafa Benitez always says, just one game at a time, 1-0 game at a time.
Olé. Absolutely. No, Rafa Benitez, there's been nobody better. He is fantastic. I would follow him to the gates of hell and back, although I don't think you're allowed out. Quick shout out to Mike in England. I believe he has a new book. I just saw on Instagram. Oh. It is called Secret Yorkshire Dales by Mike in England. You'll have to Google that, but I think perfectly timed for this Christmas season on this fall morn that you are listening to this episode of Zero Doinks. So I'll buy at least one copy of that. Mm-hmm.
Can I pre-order the Isle of Man book?
If you're 18 or older, I believe you can. Very graphic from what I understand.
Ooh, boing, boing, boing. I'm interested. Very interested.
I think you may be in this book, Dan. I think you may at the very least be the inspiration. I think you almost won as a write-in candidate for the mayor of Isle of Man, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, that would be such an honor. I would absolutely not move there with my family. I'd just go solo and just get weird.
That sounds good. Well, Dan, you're all man in my experience with you. And thank you so much for being here with me this episode. This has been Toffee's Corner. We'll let the outro take us on the outro. Thanks, buddy.
Thanks for having me. Corner Kicks.
This concludes Hams and Bread, America's favorite sports wagering segment, which includes the segment within a segment, Hams and Spreads, and the segment within a segment within a segment, Toffee's Corner. Thank you for listening exclusively on Zero Doinks.
Would love the Toffees forever.
Ooh, love your kit, Dan. Corner Kicks.
Our boys in blue.
Top of the table. Toffee, Toffee, Toffee.
For some reason, I had an idea to add a new segment knowing that Gray Balls was going to go away because of our season ending. So Hams and Bread it is. So I thought, okay, here's one spot, one place, one segment that we can have some gambling talk because it's going to be legal in Illinois soon. It's going to be red hot. So anyway.
It's Bears season. It's Justin Fields season. Have you ever wanted to follow us? Do it at Zero Doinks. Instagram at Zero Doinks. Twitter at Zero Doinks. Slip into our DMs wet, wet, wild. If the hams are a-slappin', don't come a-slappin'. If the hams are a-slappin', don't come a-slappin'. Follow us on the World Wide Web, www.zerodoinks.com. Buy our swag, buy our swag, buy our swag, buy our swag at Zerdogs.
Weirdest Big Ten minute, and I love it so much.
Big Ten minute.
A bunch of fat, pale Midwesterners just roaming around Pasadena.
You love the Illini, and I have a life.
I bleed orange and blue.
Gophers, -3 is my pick. I respect your love for the Illini.
Shove it, shove it, shove it. Row, 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 shove, shove, shove. I'm, like, pretty much the only Gopher fan that people know.
It's a Big Ten minute, as you heard in the intro. Dan, it's Gopher season, baby, and let's hear all about it. Go.
It's Gopher season. This is a big week for both of us, Bill, for Zero Doinks. But as we sit right now, the Golden Gophers, your University of Minnesota Golden Gophers, are the leaders in the Big Ten West. All alone, they're 6-2, still lost to Bowling Green, still trying to figure out what happened there. They're 4-1 in the conference. They're awesome. We want Bama. We want Bama. We want Georgia. We want all the smoke. There's no way we will lose to Iowa and or Wisconsin this year. No way that will happen. I'm just going to try to put that out there. So I'm going to will the Gophers win. We're not there yet. The Gophers beat the Northwestern Wildcats 41-14. Was not close at all. Frank, I love that you're optimism on your team, but they stink. They're horrible. The Gophers had 308 yards rushing on the ground. Where else would they rush? I don't know why I had to say both of those things. Marquise King was the punter, right? The weird punter for the Raiders. Mm-hmm. He was cool. All right, anyway, Marquise Irving had 19 carries for 110 yards, 2 touchdowns. Kai Thomas had 21 carries, 106 yards for the Gophers. The Gophers are 15th in the nation in rushing average with 222 a game. They are also the 9th lowest passing average team in the nation at 147 per game. They're just ahead of the Illini. The Illini are the 8th worst team in the country, 144 yards a game. Wisconsin, the 5th worst in the country, 140 per game. So, bottom line, you stop the run on the Gophers, a lot easier said than done. If you do that, they're in a lot of trouble, which is funny because Tanner Morgan, like 3 years ago, was the hottest thing in the Big Ten. He hasn't really had to do much this year, but I am not confident if they stink on the ground that he's going to pull a game out of his ass. So, tough. This could be tough for you this week, Bill. That's all I'll say. But what kind of follow-up questions do you have?
Are you intimidated by this following stat that I saw on Twitter? So it must be correct, and I feel like it is based off of the stat you just gave. So Illinois, 17.5 points per game, eighth worst in the NCAA. How scared are you of Chris Peterson and his offensive mind entering the hunt? Isn't that what you call the stadium, right? Nervous? Are you going to get flashbacks from when you were a tight end and he was yelling at your delicate soul? Is it personal this week? Gophers, well, let's not bury the lead. Illinois is playing the Gophers this week in what some are calling a prelude to the NCAA championship.
I want them to shove it down Peterson's throat hard and often. And yes, I guess it is personal. Fuck that guy. He's an asshole and he's a terrible coach, which you get to see firsthand. You get to see it every week. He's not good at his job. So, you know, I'm sure he's got a million excuses to tell, and it's the offensive line, but he stinks. That's all there is to it. Do we need to talk about the Illini last week, or we just move on? Just move on to
no,
this week.
They, as far as the audience needs to know, they had a bye week.
Let's
talk about the line this week. Illinois at the Hunt in Minneapolis, or is it St. Paul? Hard to say. What's the line? What's the over under? What are your thoughts, Dan?
All right, Gophers laying 14.5 at home. The over-under is 44. I'll be honest, that's a lot of points. That is a lot of points, but I wouldn't feel comfortable taking either side of that. I actually do like the over. I could see the Illini. I feel like the Illini always at least put up a few like early touchdowns, and then the Gophers, the PJ Fleck Gophers, will kind of steamroll their way back. So I could see a high-scoring game out of nowhere. This Peterson fella, fuck him. Is it personal for him? I'd be curious to know.
Yeah, somebody should ask him this week. That'd be great. Let's slide into Jeremy Warner's DMs.
Yes,
and
please.
Ask him to ask Chris about Dan Doinks. I think the under is the play here, as you were kind of sniffing around. I do think I think the Illini will cover because they've gotten blown out against Virginia, who's actually pretty good. I can't remember who else, but I know at least three of their games have come down to the last possession. So they're feisty. That is a lot of points. Both teams are similar where, you know, they're both in the 1920s where you run the ball and you don't believe in passing. So that screams under, and that screams a closer game than it probably should be.
It's true. It's a good point. If gun to head, I would take the 14.5 points. That's not a bad move. But we can't do either of that because we can't bet on Illinois football in the state of Illinois because J.B. Pritzker is sharding. I have no idea. It still doesn't make sense to me. It's so fucking stupid. So should be fun. I don't know. Are you going to watch it?
I think I have a lot of things going on during that time, thank goodness. So I will watch it back if Illinois wins. And or if Hugh gets a punt or two in, if they get blown out, I will absolutely not watch it except for Hugh, potentially. And just so you know, if you're overseas, I would imagine this will be one of your featured games. It's 11 a.m. Chicago time on ESPN2.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. Huge miss on our part not trying to have Hugh on the show this week. That would have been fun. I thought of that this morning, and it was a bit.
We're not
bit
that tight. Organized.
We're not that organized, so that would have been fun, though. But all right, that's enough about that. Big game last week, Michigan State. I didn't see a minute of it. I'll be honest. Michigan State wins, eh?
They did. I watched a lot of it. My sister was there with Lamont Doinks, who was on Gray Balls. Our season's upcoming soon. Looking forward to that. He's an alum of Michigan State. And, yeah, it looked rainy, but it looked super amazing. Everybody was there, right? You had Barstool. It was the Fox Big Saturday, whatever they call it, like Big Noon Saturday It sounds a bit perverted. Like, yeah, it's okay. Nude, because I hear nude. But maybe I'm the pervert. But either way, great game. Jim Harbaugh cannot win big games. No offense to Ty in Ontario. Michigan State, number six now in the country. Minnesota, for the record, got a lot more votes, but I think they'd be like 31st in the country if there was such a thing. So they're getting closer. Michigan State plays at a very frisky Purdue this Saturday. So that's danger time.
They're only favored by three. Did you see that? I wrote that down. They're favored by 3 points.
That makes sense because Purdue's so weird. Purdue makes no sense.
The Gophers beat the shit out of Purdue. So if we're talking about the 31st ranked team in the country beating the shit out of Purdue on the road, the number six team in the nation should triple that. I don't know. Don't they have a big game the following week? Don't they? Don't they have a bad run, Michigan State, of like Ohio State, Penn State, something along those lines? So maybe this is a trap game. I'm not looking at a schedule, but maybe that factoring that into it. Mel Tucker, what the fuck?
Might be good. It makes no sense. No sense.
Greenberg, someone nationally was talking about how he's the leader for the LSU job. I know we talked about it briefly. What world are we talking about Mel Tucker being the head coach at LSU? Unreal.
Unreal. What a climb. Just get away from Mark Trestman and watch your wings flap in the breeze. It's incredible. speaking of coaches taking over, did you see that with Gary Patterson stepping down at TCU, Jerry Kill is the interim head coach? I want your thoughts, please.
Unreal. I wouldn't be shocked at all to hear that Jerry Kill somehow sabotaged Gary Patterson to get that interim job with the hope of just taking it over full time because he's a piece of shit. Yeah, that was shocking. I for some reason Jerry Kill popped up on my radar recently and I knew he was down there, so but shocked he's still around. I mean,
literally?
No, I don't mean literally. Like I don't want that guy to keep having seizures, but he's not a good coach. He's not a good coach.
Mm-mm. No, he's not, as evidenced by Minnesota's rise to the 31st greatest college football program in the country. A quick Big Ten minute basketball update. Kofi Coburn suspended for the first three games this season by the NCAA that apparently still exists. That's confusing. He sold gear when he announced he was going pro. He sold some game-worn shoes and shirts or whatever, and then once he announced he was coming back to Illinois, he gave that money back to charity. It didn't matter. Weird. I know you're still angry at Kofi. You're the one man on God's green earth that's still mad at Kofi for entering the transfer portal, which I respect. I'm glad that you're sticking to this, Dan. What are your thoughts, buddy?
I'm mad on your behalf, on other Illini fans. He did you guys dirty. He's cheating the NCAA. He was cheating on you guys for a while. I'm upset for you guys. Mm-hmm. You guys are like, you're in an abusive relationship. You think like, oh, maybe it's not, the grass is not greener out there. So you keep going back to your abusive significant other, which is Kofi Cockburn. Mm-hmm. And you guys forgave him way too quickly. And when he breaks your heart this year, just know that I'll be there for you with arms wide open. Popular Creed song.
Your arms are going to be so closed. You're such a troll. I'm not going to pay the troll toll. I almost fell into that trap earlier today on the WhatsApp app. You were being such a dick. And I do love it from afar, but I am too far in it. I need Illinois basketball to be great. I need Kofi to be great. He is going to miss, for the record, games against Jackson State, Arkansas State, and unfortunately Marquette, Rick Fieldsman's alma mater. Believe it or not, Rick actually went to college. That is shocking still to me to this
day. No, he did not. Don't lie.
Okay, fine. What did he do at Marquette? So you didn't go there. What did he do in Milwaukee during those? Okay, yep.
Tow truck, yeah. Mm-hmm. That's right.
Okay, Okay. Fair enough. Kofi, we love you.
Nope.
I love you. Dan does not. Dan will come around once the banner is being raised next fall when Illinois celebrate an NCAA championship. How could they? How do they have any rights to suspend anybody? Like, just take Kofi out of it. This is the first suspension I've heard of, I think, in like 4 years. Classic Illinois.
I mean, he knew the rules. Rules are rules, Bill. I mean, I feel like he did it blatantly. He did it in front of everyone's face, just to see what he could get away with, because that's apparently what he likes. He likes people watching him during the action while he's in doing the deed. He likes it when people watch. So, Cockburn, we're on to your games, buddy. You're going down.
Dan wants you. I'm not sure what he wants out of this relationship, but I'm just going to. We'll see how the season progresses. We'll see where it goes. I'm looking forward to Gophers basketball insight from Dan, just like last year. That was my favorite part of the show.
It'll be hot and heavy. All I want, Bill, is for Cockburn to stop hurting you. You don't know he's hurting you, but he is, and he will hurt you. And I don't like to see the pain in your eyes that will come up this year with Cockburn. That's all. I just want him to leave you alone.
In your eyes, the light, the heat. I was hoping you'd finish that off.
No, I got nothing. I'm too worked up about Cockburn.
This has been the Big Ten Minute with the game of the week, Illinois at Minnesota. Set your TiVos. It's going to be hot. Thank you, Dan.
I'm PJ Fleck. Over here. Hi. All right, we're going to wrap this motherfucker off. Bill, I first want to just thank you for having me. It's been great being here. You look handsome, as always. I've just enjoyed my time, so thank you so much for having me in all the segments within the segments, the sexments, all of it's been awesome. I think we got to start with the Bulls. The Bulls, they're awesome. They lost since we last talked. They did lose a game, so the undefeated season is over. But 81-1 is very much in play. They played the Jazz on Saturday, beat the fuck out of them. ESPN claimed the Jazz were the best team in the NBA.
Nope.
No, they're not, because they lost to the Chicago Bulls. Bulls, tonight, at the Celtics, they took an early lead. Then they went down. They were down a decent amount in the second half. I think I saw they were down 19 in 1 point. They come all the way back, and they end up winning by 14 points, Bill, on the road at Boston on their stupid floor. Do they still have the stupid floor? I had it on. I don't remember. I don't think they do. Fuck the Celtics. The Bulls are awesome. Ayo had 14 points. He's electric. We don't miss Patrick Williams yet, but we will. That's a problem. Any thoughts on the Bulls, Bill?
Yeah, they are the hottest team in Chicago right now. That is very clear. We are moments away from going to an All Bulls All the Time podcast, so hang with us, guys. They're hot. They're fun to watch. I mean, we talk about it every episode. That backcourt is so sexy. Yeah, Patrick Williams, I do believe that will be somebody that we miss as the season goes along. But right now, let's just enjoy this, baby. You can go on the road on the parquet floor, as Dan was alluding to, in Boston. And you can just take it right to no longer Kemba Walker. Wait, is he? No.
He's on the Knicks. He's on the Knicks.
That's right. That's right. He's on the Knicks. Kevin McHale, just take it right to Kevin McHale and all the Celtics. No, it's they're fun to watch. Billy Donovan has the boys absolutely just licking, sticking, and flicking, baby. The Bulls are back.
Bulls are fucking so fucking back. It's great. We love it. We love you, the Bulls. When we do the pivot to the Bulls podcast, I think we agree We're not going to give anyone a heads up. We're just going to jump into it talking about the Bulls. We'll do it for 2 hours like we do. These episodes get a little long. It'll be 2 hours of Bulls talk. We won't even talk about the Bears. We're not going to give you a heads up. There'll just be zero Bears talk. It may happen. Yep. It may not. You'll get no heads up. It'll just say Zero Doinks, a Chicago Bulls podcast, and the conjoined twins that you see on the art up front will have Bulls jerseys on, I'm sure. So,
yes.
I love it. I love the Bulls. I'm sure this will last all season. 81-1 is in play. I'm pretty confident that will give us the number one seed in the East.
Yeah, absolutely. There are no other teams in Brooklyn or otherwise that can compete with the Bulls long term. It's just not going to happen. So might as well raise the banner now. It is fantastic. And yes, you have been warned. Consider this your warning in case there's ever an abrupt pivot. You have been warned tonight in the outro of Season 3 of Zero Doinks. Anything else that's on your mind? Great Balls is right around the corner, but what else? Okay. What else is kicking it in your mind?
How was Halloween, buddy? Did you get a lot of trick or treaters? Are you the guy that sits at home and hands out the candy? What's the move at the Bill Doink's house for Halloween? Give it all to us.
When we walk out the door with our 9-year-old daughter and 6-year-old son, we put the bucket in the sign. We're that family. Sue me, okay? Sue me. But we've got candy, okay? Just take one. Save some for the environment, you dumb bitches. We went out for it's probably the most homes we've gone to because the weather was so beautiful. It was gorgeous. It was great. We actually went out again because said daughter wanted to go out again, but my son was not into it, so he took off his costume. He was Black Panther. He took it off, and he just wanted to play football. So I just threw the football to him when we went on another route of homes. How about you with your 900 daughters? How'd that go?
Great, great. It was awesome. We also just put out the bowl as well. But I was told by my oldest daughter that you don't put the sign out. You don't put the sign of, like, just take one. Don't be an asshole, because then it just entices kids to be an asshole.
Okay.
I was good advice. I did not put out a sign. It seemed to – we went through a shitload of candy. We bounced around to quite a few homes. A lot of people in our neighborhood were pretty much tailgating.
Okay.
A lot of fires in the driveway, like people just tossing beers to you when you walk up. And it was a very much a tailgate feel to it. So it was good. It was a good day all around. Did you wear a costume, Bill, or were you just suburban dad?
I was just a suburban dad. I was your average suburban dad. We'll get to your costume in a minute. I just want to tell you my biggest highlight of the day was when I had a ring at the doorbell about 2:30. I thought it was an early trick-or-treater. Turns out it was Coach Cuse with a Gray Balls hat for me to enjoy. It is a beautiful, high-quality item that I believe you'll be getting at some point.
Ooh.
Yeah. I'm just throwing that out there, Dan. Coach Cuse, also Dan. I don't know that to be true, but that was my biggest highlight. Did you dress up, Dan, or were you your average white suburban male?
It's kind of odd that you just assumed I was white.
It's true.
I did dress up. I let my girls sort of guide me into what they want. I have three daughters, in case anyone doesn't know. Two of them were Pokemon characters, or as I call them, the Pokemans, just to piss them off. I go, do you have all the Pokemans? Where are the Pokemans? They said, you got to be a Pokemon character. So I said, great, sign me up. Which one should I be? I'll get a costume. They said, Dad, you need to be Snorlax. You're just like Snorlax. Cool. Sounds great. Order the costume. It was very warm. That was nice. But then did a little research. I'm like, who is Snorlax? Well, I come to find out he's a big, fat Pokemon. He eats in his sleep. And when he eats, he gets bigger and bigger. The exact number is that he eats around 800 pounds of food a day. Oh, and he just gets massive. They showed me like a video. He gets huge and he grows like trees on him. It's a mess. So basically, he sleeps a lot and he eats a lot. I think my family just full-blown fat-shaming me now that I have this costume. So when I had to explain this to people who, obviously, people our age, it's funny that the younger parents, like parents who might be like 5 to 10 years younger than us, Bill, they're like, oh, yeah, I know Snorlax. I'm like, is he a big fat Pokemon? Like, oh, yeah, he's fucking massive. He's a fat piece of shit, was what most of them said, mostly the moms. So my family was fat shaming me on Halloween, and I was very offended, I'll be honest.
Yeah.
That's it.
It sounds like you should have been. I saw a picture of you on the interwebs. You look great.
Thank you.
You looked, and I'll be honest, you look slim.
Oh.
So, jokes on your family.
It's the Snorlax costume, because it was massive. Huge. It was very large in the crotch area. Like, I don't know if a Snorlax is hung like a horse or what, but I appreciate that, buddy. Snorlax. Highly recommend. 5 stars.
No. That's... You did look cozy. It looks super, super comfy. Did you see any, did you ride any broomsticks, so to speak, or no?
Is that a sexual thing, or?
Oh, yeah.
No, I did not ride any broomsticks.
Okay. All right. Good to know.
No, I was not involved in any witch's walks.
Okay.
We talked about that last week, right? Witch walks.
Yeah.
I'm curious to know if that's popular. I've seen it on social media. Jordan Doinks maybe was involved in a few of them the past few weeks, to which I've made fun of her a lot about. But I did not personally get on a broomstick myself.
Okay. Well, that's
how about you?
Probably,
did you get on a broomstick? Okay.
You know, it wasn't that sort of Halloween here at the Doinks household, okay?
All right.
I'm offended that you asked. I absolutely am. We touched on Great Balls a little bit. We make our debut on November 10th. That is a Wednesday night. We are going to defend the crown. I can only assume there's going to be emotional speeches at half court and a banner-raising ceremony, perhaps rings. Hard to say. Dan, you are all the way in on our practice squad, as is Rick Fieldsman, as is Lamont Doinks. It's going to be fantastic. It is going to be great. And have you bought basketball shoes yet? That's my only question.
Nope. We're just gonna wing it. No, I'm not even looking for them right now. So
okay.
Just might be barefoot. We'll see.
Okay. Well, it's good to know. I can't wait to see you out there barefoot, just getting super weird with Fred, the leader of our league. I can't wait for that segment to come back. I'm sure our listeners feel the same. Some actually might. That may be the highlight for some, which I totally appreciate. Want to throw out a couple thank yous. Coach Cuse, thank you for the hat. Thank you for the music. Rick Fieldsman, thank you for assistance, of course, as always, with Hams and Spreads, the segment within the segment within the segment. And you also contributed to the music in our first song, another new tune that you will hear apropos of nothing. I think we're running out of songs finally, just about. Dan, thank you. Thank you so much for being here. And most importantly, though, Dan, thank you for being hung like a Snorlax.
Thanks, buddy. Yeah, Snorlax, his cock grows bigger in his sleep as well. But thanks for having me, buddy. It's been fun. It's been wet, wild. I hate the Bears, but I love Zero Doinks. Thank you so much.
Well said, Zero Doinks. Thank you for listening. To all of our listeners, we appreciate it, especially through another losing streak that just seems to be a Matt Nagy tradition. Thank you so much. Go Bears! We hate you, but we love you, but we definitely love Zero Doinks.
Go Bears, go Gophers, row the boat. Bear down.
Go Lion-Eye!
No! We'll be right back.
You sound amazing, Darren.
Well, I'm fucking half cut, so it's a good Friday to be.
I also have a trout pond still going in my pants, apparently. Yeah.
Thanks, Matt Nagy.
I'm a just island boy. I'm a just island boy. I'm a get Kiwi going. You're gonna keep that gun.
He dressed up like a clown for them, with his face painted white and red. Someday you will try to run up the score so high. I'll follow you into the dark. Our fans now cry. I'll pack in the stand so high. Our nerves and patience fried, waiting for a hint of a spark. If Nagy and Pace decide that they both are satisfied, achievements known, but their careers have climbed. If there's no chance of scoring and the red zone's stark, then I'll follow you into the dark. A big time school, the Buckeyes old horseshoe. Fields got his rib cage bruised and Pace waiting it back. Ignore Wilson, and he told me, son, I'll trade up for JF1 and get the fans off my back. If Nagy and Pace decide that they both are satisfied, few achievements known, but their careers have climbed. If there's no chance of scoring and the red zone's stark, then I'll follow you into the dark. In year five, Matt's goal is to survive. His playbook can't be revived. Can he even tie his own shoes? We're worn down, Nagy is a clown. There's little to cheer about, 'cause we'll lose again soon with the play calling buffoon.
Nagy and Pace decide that they would rather satisfy the few achievements.
You ruined all my romance.